It's Tuesday, January 26th, and we have made it, guys. We've made it to the Super Bowl. It is the Chiefs and the Buccaneers, the best possible matchup for Jeff Schwartz. Is smarter than you. I am Jeff Schwartz alongside Gabe Guin. Gabe got a haircut for today because he knew he would have to sit here and hear me talk about how great Tom Brady is, his 10th Super Bowl. He has more Super Bowl appearances now. He has tied for Super Bowl appearances with Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers in the NFC. Tom Brady is the best thing ever. Gabe, how was your weekend?
Why? Just don't do that. You're trolling. Like, you don't need to troll me, man. This is like a family affair. You're in the Super Bowl again. It's a happy day. Your predictions came true. You know, you've been nailing it on your guesses about how the season would play out. You don't need to come at me. I got a haircut. I look like if Travis Kelce lost 100 pounds of muscle and got a little uglier, that's what I look like now because of my haircut. Jeff, it was a hard weekend. I got in trouble with my wife. I was cursing a lot at the TV. She didn't like that. The kids were around. It was hard, man.
Yeah, I sit kind of quietly when I watch games, unless there's a gambling thing. I get really. I try to hide it from my family. I don't think my family even knows that I gamble. So that's good, I guess. Bad, I guess. But nonetheless,
you've kept that of all things to keep secret. You've kept that.
No,
secret
my wife
this whole
knows
time?
I gamble, but she just doesn't care. I don't know if that's a difference or not. Like, she doesn't really care.
You know what I do? When I make some bets, I join a league or I get on somewhere and put some. I Venmo in private mode to whoever I'm working with because I don't know why Venmo ever has a public mode. Why does my wife need to know that I sent my guy Travis $100 for, picks? Like, why would that ever be a public thing?
It should not be a public thing. Mine is completely private, my Venmo. I am sitting on a Tampa Bay Super Bowl future plus 1,100. So I get to have some fun for the Super Bowl because it's the only future I made for the NFL as far as Super Bowl. And so
there is a
that
little hedge. Yeah, well, we don't want to give away too much of who you're picking or why just yet.
No, we do not.
Let's talk about the weekend that was. I'll just say it. The Chiefs are unstoppable. Please, God, let's just get to the part where they're going to Disneyland and like Zoom or whatever you're going to do this year. I don't want to have to worry about the Chiefs winning this Super Bowl because of what it would mean if Tom Brady won. I'm saying Chiefs by a million. You know, the only question is if it's close at times earlier in the game. Jeff, give me something from this weekend that you saw from the Chiefs that I can get smarter about, because all I saw was a perfect team, run a perfect offense, do plenty on D. They're going to dominate the Bucs, right?
They should, yes. But the problem is, and I tweeted this out, I know you agree with me, is that the Bucs should have lost to the Saints too, and they should have lost to the Packers too. And guess what? Then the Super Bowl. So nothing is ever for granted. But let's talk about the Chiefs for a second. It's hard for me to think back to a time when we've had a team in the NFL turn on like the Chiefs have. We've talked about this all season long. And I have said, hey, guys, just beware. The Chiefs keep telling us they're going to do it. Keep telling us they're going to do it. I got to see it, right? They have not covered in the last 9 games. Now, obviously, if Mahomes plays against the Browns, they probably cover that game. But they didn't. I kept saying, guys, I need to see it. I need to see it because we don't see this. Look at the Patriots team in 2007 that was undefeated. They weren't just like skirting by, right? They were dominating teams down the stretch. Even the Chiefs last season, they were dominating teams down the stretch. Our pals at Action Network, I believe Chris Raybon, had this like the Chiefs would be the worst team to win a Super Bowl against the spread, against the spread record since 2012, I believe. Like they're not blowing teams out. And I said, hey, I want to see him do it. And guess what? They finally did it. This is how they were stopped. Tyreek Hill dropped a 40-yard pass on third down. It's wide open. Dropped it. They allowed 7 points, really 6 points, on a muff kick. Buffalo had the ball at the 3-yard line. Otherwise, the game, they would have won by 30 points. It wasn't even close. They were not stopped. And really, Pat Mahomes, when he has been guiding this offense, they have barely been stopped the entire postseason. And we've said, hey, just wait till if they can play their full A game, knowing the NFL can beat them, and that still applies now, Gabe. If they play to their full ability this weekend, in 2 weekends now, Tampa's not beating them. But here's a couple things to think about. Their offensive line, beat up right now. Left tackle Eric Fisher, towards Achilles, not going to play. My brother at right tackle hasn't played in 3 months. They have a backup right guard, right? Larry was the doctor, stayed in opt out of the year. They kind of rotate that position. Left guard, guy got hurt in the first month of the season. So they have 4 backup offensive linemen against this Tampa Bay defensive line. It's a concern, right? Are the Chiefs going to shoot themselves in the foot? I don't know. They've done that throughout the season. And is Tampa Bay going to have this turnover luck? Like, they just keep forcing turnovers. I thought, and we'll get to him in a second, but I thought that was the best game Byron Leftwich had called all season. Tampa's OC. Like, they're just, there's all these things, one, two, three, four, five, have to happen for Tampa to win this game. And you know me, I obviously a Chiefs fan, but I try to present a way the Chiefs can lose. I think it's pretty boring to do what Nick Wright does. I love Nick, but like gets on TV all the time and says, the Chiefs are the best thing ever. It's like, yeah, the record shows that. Like, I like to try to like find a way for the Chiefs to lose a game here and there, because I think it's more fun to do that. I could just come on here and say the Chiefs are the best thing ever, but I don't think that's why people listen to me. But Gabe, when they play an A-plus game, man, they're pretty freaking good.
They are, and you're right that Nick, among others, will just sort of remind us how much better they are and that they should obviously win, and there's a thousand different stats to support that. I want to come back to the point about the line, though, because especially from you, given how personal this is for you, that felt like you breezed past it. So the issue going into the Packers-Bucks game was, wait, what about David Bakhtiari, the all-world left tackle, being out? Yeah. Isn't that going to be a problem for an Aaron Rodgers? It would seem the left tackle, Eric Fisher, for the Chiefs being out and your brother having been out. You told me earlier this year, just a few weeks ago, like, it. The problem is when you have to start moving multiple guys around on the line. It's not just about swapping one guy out. It's about moving a few guys around. How do they handle the fact that in the Super Bowl, their left tackle is out?
Yeah, it's a problem. And we saw actually in the Packers game that the Bucs took advantage of Bakhtiari not being out.
Yeah.
Of Bakhtiari being out. The Packers left tackle. It was the first time in the three games Bakhtiari has missed. This is the third game, but someone took advantage of that. JPP attacked inside. He was able to get inside, outside. This twist off of a bunch of stuff. So, yes, it's a problem. Here's the thing. Go to my Twitter, at Jeff Schwartz. I pinned this to my profile because it's so true. Is that, can the Bucs take advantage of this defense, of this offensive line? Yes, they totally can, right? A, the Chiefs are not going to run the football. Tampa Bay is the best run defense in the NFL. They're down four offensive line. Not going to run the football. Can they hit Pat Mahomes? Yes, they can. They can hit Pat Mahomes. The problem is, if the secondary can't cover anyone, none of that matters, because they'll just throw the ball quickly and get the ball out. And look back to last year. Here's the path for Tampa, if you're rooting for Tampa. And it's not a simple path, but it is kind of simple. You do what the Niners did. You hit Pat Mahomes, force turnovers. And then instead of having Jimmy G, you have Tom Brady. And Tom Brady's going to make some of those throws that Jimmy G did not. You know, it's not – one of the throws that Jimmy G missed was like a six-yard third and six pass. Like, Tom Brady can throw that. And I'm like, if we're asking him to lead your team from behind, probably not Tom Brady's thing. But Tom has 2 weeks to repair now. So that's the path if you're a Tampa Bay Bucs fan. But again, man, is that Andy Reid is so good at scheming up parts of the offense that – even with the bum offensive line, if they stay ahead of the chains, that means if they get, you know, 7 yards on first down, then they get 6 yards on second, and now it's first and 10 again. Now they get 5 yards. As long as they're out of third and eight, Gabe, then it doesn't matter, in my opinion, the offensive line is all beat up.
Huh. Okay. I read something from somebody that you follow tweeted about how this was their best DVOA performance of the year. They were just extremely efficient. If they needed, 4 yards on third down, they got five.
Yes.
They didn't waste plays. They always got just what they needed. More to discuss there, and does that tie into this sort of second-tier offensive line at all?
Well, I just think that we finally got the game the week wanted, which was the Chiefs just stepping on someone's throat, making it happen. I think the Bills defense, and we had talked about this a little bit in preparation for the playoffs, they really have not played a good offense since like week 9. Now they played the Colts, and the Colts should have won that game. They had 480 yards on offense and no turnovers. They played Buffalo. They played Baltimore. Baltimore had more yards than them. Obviously that turnover at the end was pretty big for Lamar. So it's a matter of time. And what fascinated me about this game from a schematic perspective is this. I said in a preview on Thursday with Matt that I expected both teams to do the exact same thing on defense. The Bills sit back in coverage, which they did for most of the game, and let the Chiefs slowly bleed you out, which happened, but the Chiefs finished in the red zone, and Buffalo kind of had some red zone luck on defense that did not work in this game. And I expected the Chiefs to blitz the heck out of Josh Allen just like they did the first game. And guess what, Gabe? They did. And the Bills had no answer. I do not know why the Bills had no answer whatsoever. One time they had an answer, Singletary dropped the pass. That would have been a big gain early in the game, wide open on a blitz. Otherwise, they just kept blitzing Josh Allen's passing hand every single time. And the Bills had no screens. No screens off that. No any hot routes or sight routes kind of behind that pressure, right? We see all the time, you know, a slot guy comes, the slot defender comes, the slot receiver just turns around, catches the ball, right? Boom. No wide receiver, little quick bubble screens. Nothing. No max protect plays. No bringing it back over. Like, nothing. And so they just were out game plan too. And the field goals, man, don't get me started on those. Like, guys, we saw this weekend, we had two aggressive coaches. They're both in the Super Bowl. And two conservative coaches that are sitting at home right now.
Yep.
For Sean McDermott to not go for it in those two circumstances in the first half is utterly ridiculous. You're not beating the Chiefs with field goals. You never do. You have to keep scoring. The Bills did not do that.
No. It took us, by the way, I noted, 11 minutes and 23 seconds of recording to get to a point where you even said the word Bills. Because it was almost like it was irrelevant that they were the team opposite the Chiefs. The Chiefs were just that dominant to me. After those first few hiccups you referenced in the first quarter, it was just all Chiefs all day. Bills weren't a thing. But then at the end, there was some chippiness and there was some bad blood and there was some, you know, fists thrown and the refs had to intervene. I wonder, Jeff, if you think that sort of chippiness and emotion at the end is evidence that both teams recognize there maybe is a bit of a rivalry brewing here, that they expect to do this again in the future. There is some mutual respect. Like, yep, you guys are clearly the only other team that could compete with us. We're taking you seriously. Or am I just reading into things?
Well, so early in the game, we saw Chris Jones throw that punch. He did not get caught for that. Then later in the game, we saw them hit Josh Allen late. And so the offensive line reacted to that. And that's normal, I think. But I think there was some emotion of, like, we kind of got our ass beat. We're kind of salty about it a little bit. And protecting the quarterback, which I'm fine with. And obviously, you know, I've been kind of waiting. The Chiefs offensive line, they like to agitate. That's part of what they do. And they just kind of kept agitating the Bills all game. And then eventually it bowled over at the end, obviously, with some more sportsmanlike comments and late hits. So I think the Bills were just a little salty. Look, they had a great season, a great run. I want to address something that's important here. Bills fans told me, hey, this game is not as important for us as for the Chiefs because guess what? We're not supposed to be here. Well, guys, it's kind of hard to win. And look at Aaron Rodgers, right? Been in one Super Bowl. Drew Brees, one Super Bowl. Like, the idea that you could just get to Super Bowls like the Chiefs are doing now is not how it works. And the Chiefs should be in their third straight Super Bowl, right? They could have been the Patriots if Dee Ford wasn't offsides. And so what the Patriots did with Tom Brady is not normal in the NFL. We've had dynasties, right? The Steelers of the 70s, Niners of the 80s, Cowboys in the 90s. The Cowboys don't only won three Super Bowls. We act like they won like a zillion in the 90s. They won three, I believe, right? They won three in a row, I believe, or three out of four. What the Patriots did is not normal for football. And to just expect, if you're the Bills, hey, we'll be back next year. Every year is different, right? Every single year is different. And so the mindset of, oh, we're playing house money, doesn't work that way. So I just want to make that point. Like, when you get to this point, you got to win. Remember Jacksonville, right?
Yeah.
In 2017. Oh, they'll be back. Tennessee last year. Oh, they'll be back. It's hard to consistently win the NFL, and it makes it even more impressive what the Chiefs are doing right now.
Yeah, well, Stephon Diggs seemed to be letting us know he knows that when he was the only player from the Bills out there on the field watching the Chiefs.
I like that.
Yeah.
That I've done that before in games. Like, that just kind of it makes it really hurt, which I think is important. Like, I kind of want it to fuel you for next season. And so, yeah, I kind of liked he was out there. That's what I would have done.
Yeah, I thought it was cool too, and I think it probably will fuel him, and he has nothing to be ashamed of. He played his ass off this season, you know, made them a much better team. Last thing before we switch to the guy whose name I don't really want to bring up, but this will segue to it anyway. We always talk about the offense. We spent a little time talking about the defense. I do want to mention Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo was the Giants defensive coordinator when they bottled up Tom Brady's 2007 Patriots, the record-setting offense, but better offense even than these Chiefs. Is there anything to be said for what Steve Spagnuolo's defense can do to Tom Brady specifically?
So what's so interesting about the Chiefs' defense is they kind of break their numbers. For example, I don't know how the better way to say it, but they kind of break their mold all the time. Is if you look at their numbers, man, like red zone defense, atrocious this season. Last night, good. All of a sudden, good. Like rush defense, not good all season. Playoffs, good. All of a sudden, like I don't understand how. Like offensively, you can kind of get the flip the switch thing, right? Like it kind of makes sense. But defense is an emotional position. And you're either on or you're off. I have not seen a defense just be able to turn it on like they did the end of last season and the end of this season like they're doing. I mean, they blanketed the Bills. And they brought pressure. So when you bring pressure, right, typically that means you put everyone on an island because you have less guys in coverage than you have pressuring. So, you know, you're not in zone coverage as often. Man-to-man coverage. That's why there's ways for the Bills to beat the pressure. They didn't do any of it. And so for Tom Brady, how is he going to beat the pressure? They're going to pressure Tom Brady. Promise you that. Because they're not a get-home-with-four type of crew. The Chiefs typically aren't. I will tell you one thing to look at. The Bucs offensive line, fabulous. Their right guard is a backup, but he's their weak link. So Chris Jones against him is going to be a huge matchup the Chiefs have to exploit.
Okay, well, let's go to that side of the matchup then, and I'll just say what a lot of us are thinking, and don't laugh at me, but Tom Brady is the luckiest asshole in history, man. He really is. I get it. He's all-time greatest, blah, blah, blah. He did enough to win. I know. Okay, he threw three picks. He could have had another. He got bailed out by just awful pack defense, weird pack coaching calls, turnovers that put him in the red zone, and then, of course, that insane pass interference call in the most critical moment of the game. All of those things work in his favor. They shouldn't have won that game, and they should be getting smoked by Mahomes in 2 weeks. But obviously, they won't because of what you just said, and God hates the rest of us, and he loves Tom Brady. So what the hell was that game, and why is he back again?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's so brutal. It's just endless with this guy. He's in like 50% of the Super Bowls he could be in.
18% of Super Bowls. Yeah. It's pretty remarkable. I don't have a great answer for why he is quote unquote lucky. I mean, I feel like you make your own breaks, right? And I don't know what breaks he made yesterday because he didn't play that well in the second half of the game. I mean, Aaron Rodgers outplayed him. Now he played very well, you know, in the first half of the game. And I thought actually that Byron Leftwich, their OC, called a great game. Like, I thought he called a great game. They did a great job of getting him in the right spots, some play action passes, some good things early on, some things late, right? The screen to Gronk late was big. But yeah, he threw some bad interceptions. One of them was Fournette missed a pressure, a blitz pickup, and Brady just kind of threw the ball up on third down. So let's give him two interceptions, really. One that was,
but he did just kind of throw it up in the air.
It was third and two. It was like a punt. It felt like more like a punt. Like, I'll just throw it up there and hope Mike Evans catches the ball. I mean, people do that all the time. Oh, okay. I'm just worried about that one. Is the high throw over the middle. So I don't know if Tom, and I'm going to talk to Ryan Jensen, the Tampa Bay center, we've had on the show before. I'm going to talk to him about this because Tom must be able to lift his team up to play better in these situations. Because if you have a guy like Tom Brady, the whole team thinks, hey, we do our part, Tom will win this for us. He's been there before. We know that if we play and we do our part ourselves, nothing more, right? If I'm the linebacker and I have an assignment, I just do my job. If I'm the safety, I just do my job. If I'm the right tackle, I just do my job. I don't do any more, obviously not any less, but I don't do any more because Tom Brady will make it right for us in the end. And maybe that's what it is, Gabe, is that there's a level of confidence when the playoffs come of playing with a guy who's playing in his 10th Super Bowl now. And even though he did not play that great in the second half of that game, the team always believed, hey, man, just do our job. We have a chance because we have Tom Brady. And it could be that simple. Now, they get Antonio Brown probably back for this game. They'll get Winfield Jr. back for this game as well, which I think I played with his dad. It's kind of weird. He's in the NFL, but nonetheless, like, they'll get healthier as well. And for whatever reason, man, they just stick around these games. Their play sequencing on offense is so garbage. They run the ball like every first down. I do not understand it. They put themselves in third and long all the time. You cannot do this against Kansas City. So, I think the Chiefs are going to blow them out. I mean, we'll obviously have much more to say about this game, but my first thought is that. But I thought the Saints were going to win too. I thought the Packers were going to win too. And Tom Brady just keeps getting his team to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there must be something to what you're getting at about everyone else can just relax and do their job because they feel, right or wrong, that he'll just do something special. I can relate to that as a producer, having worked with some really great people at ESPN over the years. You know, Michelle Beadle was like, we just had to like make sure we had a few things in place. And then in certain situations, you just turn the camera on and she was just awesome. She was just great at it. I couldn't quite explain it. And so maybe that's how it is, that you all just focus on what you're there to do and let the special person be special. But that doesn't really explain what the hell happened with Kevin King all day long, but especially on that Miller touchdown at the end of the half.
So here's an example of, in my opinion, kind of fortune favors the bold, right? So Bruce Arians was going to punt the ball. Remember, he was going to punt the ball there. Called timeout. I'm not sure if anyone talked him into going for it. I mean, it didn't look like Tom did. They went for it, got a first down, called timeout, and then had the Scotty Miller touchdown. They just ran a basic 8-9-8 or 9-8-9, like a go, kind of a post and a go, like it's from a bunch formation. It was actually kind of cool. It kind of split out like a bunch. And the Packers called terrible coverage. One robber. Like, what are you doing, guys? So look, sometimes you go for it, and defense calls a shitty defense. Like, that's just football, right? And that's why you stay aggressive. And again, it's not Tom's magical powers that forced Green Bay into shitty defense, but it's just what he took advantage of it.
Okay, and then early in the second half, there's a pick that gets returned, you know, into the red zone because Devin White's an animal and can do crazy things. So then you have the ball in the red zone. Then we're skipping that one because every team benefits from turnovers. But okay, so then why isn't Rodgers running for the end zone on 3rd and 8 late in the game? And why on God's green earth are they kicking a field goal and giving Tom Brady the ball back? What the hell was that sequence about?
So Rodgers would have gone probably about 3 yards of the 7 to get to the end zone. I mean, JPP was very close. I think people don't realize that. He would have caught him at some point. I don't think Rodgers scores.
Okay.
But obviously, if you get to the 3 yard line, it makes going 4 and a 4th and 3 much different, right?
I think yes.
LaFleur would do that. I know the models said that kicking the field goal there was the same as going for it. Okay. I disagree.
Model is that? How come every smart person I know says what they should have gone?
Whatever people use to track, you know, game probability and whatnot. I don't know. I watch the Packers defense all day, and their defense did not scream to me, get a stop. But if people say, well, they had to get a stop anyways if they scored and got a 2-point conversion. Yes, that's right. It's a lot different, though, when you're playing defense to stop someone from going 50 yards than when Tampa just needs 10 yards. The game's over. Like, it's much different. We get that, right? And Tampa did it, and Rodgers seems so upset. I couldn't believe it. But I mean, I would have if I was in that spot as a player, I wouldn't have wanted to go for it. Especially I think the Packers had like an historically good red zone offense this season too. And to not go for it just signaled like, hey man, I'd rather trust my defense than trust my MVP Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah. And a defense that has sucked. And so then the defense does something that happens all the time, but usually isn't under the spotlight. So the PI call that blew up Twitter, I mean, the most generous interpretation was it was technically the right call to call pass interference for pulling the jersey, but it didn't seem like a call that needed to be made and wouldn't have been made for 58 previous minutes in that game where almost no flags existed. So it seemed like a late call that didn't have to be made and of course goes Tom Brady's way, and that makes everyone pissed. What was your take on that?
All right, good. I'm glad you brought this up. So I think all of us want consistency from the officials, correct? Consistency.
Yeah.
Whether you call a lot of flags, middle amount of flags, no flags, be consistent. All game, both sides were grabbing each other, pulling each other, especially on the Tampa Bay side, right? Tampa was all over the Packers wide receivers. If you don't want to call it, fine. That should be your policy the entire game. When you throw a flag there, and it was PI. Everyone agrees it was PI. Mm-hmm. When you throw a flag there and you didn't throw the other 7 times, it's like, what are you doing, guys? Why there? And everything else. Yes, it was blame, but there were also other blame ones that weren't called. So that's the problem. It's not that they shouldn't call PI ever. It's that we want consistency from our officials. And in that situation, in that game, did not feel that call was consistent with how the game flow went. And it wasn't obvious PI. It was grabbing a shirt. And maybe it was too obvious they finally had to call something.
Well, and so, but that's where we tie back to my rants about Tom Brady, and I think other people feel this way. It's like, you're defining luck then. And if it's not luck, it's a conspiracy. And I'm not willing to call it a conspiracy to help Tom Brady. But it's like, okay, so it's a judgment call that doesn't need to be made and isn't being made almost all the other time. But what do you know? It happens here and benefits him. His whole run began with one of these calls. Remember the Tuck game? You know, like the whole damn existence of Tom Brady is premised on some weird 50-50. I'm not sure we need to call it this way, but somehow it helps him. And that's what's so tiring.
So, you know, luck is sometimes, it's not explainable. I'll give you an example. Like, so my brother obviously got hurt this season. Before this season, he had played every game of his career. And before even middle last season, he played every snap of his career, like 8,000 snaps in a row, right? And I was hurt all the time. I did nothing to deserve being hurt. I worked my ass off. Had bad luck. Sucks, right? Now, in the game, how do I define luck like that, right? Is that Tampa Bay was winning that at that point, right? They were winning the game, first of all, right at that point. So even if it didn't go against them, they still had to punt the ball back, and Green Bay had to drive the field with no timeouts and score a touchdown. So you build your own luck by doing the right things throughout the game. So when a call kind of goes your way, it's like, oh, shit, we got one, right? Like, you just kind of make your own luck. And I know they didn't do anything specifically to earn that, but they kind of earned it by being in this position to throw the ball there to close the game out, right? Does that kind of make sense? Like, they got to a position to where they could take an opportunity to throw the ball there that got a pass interference. If they were losing the game, maybe it's different. If they're winning the game, I just think that, like, you kind of make your own luck. And I don't think they were, like, singling out Tom Brady. Just they're winning the game. They passed the ball. It was a PI. Game was over. Like, end of story.
All right, so then let's use this as our segue to the other guy who's – then he's been making some very bad luck for a very long time, because Aaron Rodgers is the only person in my lifetime who I think you could get a majority of people to say is better than Tom Brady. Not more accomplished, but better than Tom Brady. And his luck has sucked, man. All right? He basically said – he thinks his future in Green Bay is in doubt as soon as this game was over. That's more or less what he said at his press conference. He's lost four straight NFC Championship game appearances with the Packers. Okay? Yeah. I think he's going to just murder a few teammates and maybe coach LaFleur and then just sprint out of town and try to win a ring somewhere else. Let them begin the love era. But Jeff, like, if you make your own luck, what the hell has Aaron Rodgers done wrong? The guy had 340-something yards, three touchdowns. He was the MVP all season. I thought he played a better game than Brady, and just shit never goes his way. Like, what is Aaron Rodgers supposed to do?
I don't know if leaving is the right answer. I don't know. I mean, unless he goes to the Niners, like someone with a great defense, but partly he's been let down by his defense throughout his career.
Terrible.
He's not been overcome that. And even yesterday, Rodgers played really well. The interception he threw, just kind of a – I know people like – it was said it was holding. It was kind of a bad throw. It was kind of behind him a little bit. Fine. But otherwise, he played fine.
Fine?
Like, I agree with
he
you.
He played great.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. I mean, like, it was – like, it's not his fault they lost. He didn't call that fourth down field goal. But I will say, though, in the first drive of the game, they had three opportunities to score. They ran the three plays they wanted. Bad throw to Adams on the rollout. Second play, ball hit White in the chest. And the third play, Lazard was breaking open wide open for a touchdown, and Rodgers threw the ball back. It's like they still has opportunities. I know it's tough when you throw for 340 yards to point out two plays, Gabe, where it's like, hey, if you had done better here, but that's the way that players and coaches will look at it. I do agree with you, though. Played great. Just for whatever reason, man. You know, Colin has said this before, Colin Coward, and I've never looked it up, so I'm going to take his word for it, that Aaron Rodgers, when he's behind in a game at all, is like a career record of about 500. It's not good. I need to flesh that out a little bit more, but like, that's not good, right? Do we agree on that? Like, he doesn't play well from behind.
Yeah, okay.
Is that his fault? I don't know.
People have been saying this about, you know, Tiger Woods too, that he's a front runner and he's not good at comebacks.
Well, like, he was always so far ahead, though. The difference, obviously, right here is that Aaron is not always so far ahead.
All right, but so, like, it just seems to me that Aaron Rodgers has been in the position You know, he's been minutes away from a Super Bowl multiple times and come up short. And yes, yeah. Colin was alluding today to the idea that, well, maybe he deserves some of the blame. He gets all the credit for all the wins and all the success. The MVPs, the one ring, all the great wins. No one ever says it's his fault when they lose. But, like, I don't see how you could claim it was his fault. It's obviously his defense blew it. His coach, frankly, kind of blew it with the field goal try. And, you know, the ref blew it to give Tom Brady a first down. So, like, I feel like if Aaron Rodgers went to any other team with an average defense, they're better than the Packers. Obviously, Devontae Adams is good, but I don't have any reason to believe that he couldn't make the number one on every team in the league look like Devontae Adams.
Like if he went to the Niners or something, yeah, I agree. I would love to see him go somewhere else and test the waters on a different team. I don't know if the Packers will trade him, but I would love to see it.
Well,
wouldn't you?
What? Yes, of course. And what if, and we'll get to this in a minute, but what if he does what we think Deshaun Watson is doing? What if he finds a respectful, classy, off-the-record kind of way to basically leak he's demanding a trade? Couldn't Aaron Rodgers force his way out of town?
Yes, but is that what Aaron Rodgers wants to do? Yes, he can make it very public and very loud and very messy. Never struck me as something that he'd want to do, I guess. I mean, he's made comments in the past about things that have happened. But, I mean, it's a pretty, like, your legacy kind of gets tarnished a little bit when you approach it that way. I don't think he cares very much. You know what I mean? Like, Deshaun Watson's so young that everyone's like, hey, oh, you're 25? Yeah, get the hell out of Houston. They're a shit show. The Packers are not a shit show organization. They're a great organization. So asking out, there's a different type of legacy question and how people view him in Green Bay and the rest of the NFL for asking out now versus what Deshaun Watson did, because Deshaun Watson's so young and it's a terrible organization.
Yeah, are we sure we want to call the Packers a great organization? I mean, remember, Aaron Rodgers' career started because he was the guy coming in to replace a legend, and it started as a total mess. 3 years of chaos before Aaron Rodgers got a chance to try to be in charge of this team. Then a bunch of years of regular season wins, missed opportunities in the postseason. They never draft him a weapon. They never give him much of a defense. There's one season with Clay Matthews and a couple other guys. Like, they basically always stink on D and count on it snowing in January. Are we sure they're a good organization?
Yes, because they've won, like, 30 years straight.
Okay, but we just saw in the graphics in the game yesterday, like, Tom Brady's won more than the whole history of the Packers. All these Hall of Fame, we name every trophy after them.
Tom Brady's won more than every team ever. Like, it's a bad. I think everyone who played for them has liked them. Everyone who's played for them has respected Green Bay. I know people around the league respect. Like, I think they're a well-run organization. Yes.
All right.
It's hard to win for that many years in a row and just dominate division for years and years and years.
All right. Well, I think it's not hard if Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback every single year. So if Aaron Rodgers goes where he wanted to go all along, where
Drew Brees had 3 straight 7-9 seasons. Like, it's not guaranteed you're going to win 10 games.
I got it. And I think Aaron Rodgers has been the best quarterback of my life. And I think he now will go where he wanted to go in the first place, where only bad luck kept him from being there, you know, back in 2004 or whatever it was. Yeah. He's going to end up in the Bay. He's going to play for the Niners. Is he going to get a
ring? I hope he does. I'd love.
All right.
If he would do that.
All right. Let's move the line. Let's talk about a few other teams and a few other situations. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll make some bets. Sound good?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. If that ad didn't blow your eardrums out, maybe Jeff will as he answers some of these questions. Moving the line, our little over-under game. None of these are real. There's plenty of real bets to make later this week, Jeff. I want to know, Bills wins versus Chief wins regular season next year. What's the bigger number? Regular season.
Yeah, the Chiefs. I don't see why the Chiefs are going to lose more than 3 games every season.
Okay. Can I ask you about a couple names we failed to mention earlier, yes, or at least in detail? Is Travis Kelce going to set every single record ever held by a tight end and then some?
If you say he's healthy, he's on that path. He's incredible, man. I've told everyone this for years now, that Travis Kelce is the most important player in that offense outside of Pat Mahomes. People keep saying Tyreek Hill. No, it's Travis Kelce, man. He is unguardable. He makes this offense go. Obviously, it helps to have Tyreek Hill and Hardman and Sammy Watkins will probably play this weekend, or let's hope in 2 weeks. Travis Kelce is incredible. He's incredible. I mean, he, against the Browns, guys, he broke down the number one corner on their team for a touchdown. Like, he is fantastic. What's incredible about the Chiefs, too, is it's the play calling, man. Like, guys are just wide open all the time. It's incredible.
It's crazy. Twitter, it's fun. I saw somebody post this. Maybe you saw it, where they screen grabbed like a ball at snap when there were three guys in motion crisscrossing. And it just said, imagine trying to figure out who's getting the ball. And like, that's, I watch every play now with that in mind. Like, I have no idea where the ball is going, but I know a couple guys are going to be open.
Agreed. It's, there was a picture too on one of Travis Kelce's catches where Mahomes is releasing the ball and Kelce's behind the defender still. Like, defender, let's say Mahomes is on Mahomes. There's a defender here.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, Kelce's still running, like, to the place where it's incredible.
He has
their connection
total,
is incredible.
Total trust that Travis will take that one step in the right direction or position his body right.
They have a great connection.
He releases the ball before he's in the right place, and he always ends up in the right place. One other thing I want to ask you about, because I know that this, you know, guys like you get off on this. I noticed at least one of the biggest plays of the game, and probably a couple of them, where Hill and Hardman get loose. Travis is like pancaking dudes 30 yards downfield. And I, most of the time, observationally, the really great offensive sort of tight ends in history, the guys who put up these huge stats who he might be compared to, are fine. They're usually not great at blocking, and they certainly aren't like spending their time 30 yards downfield smushing guys. That's not my impression, at least. Is he unique in that way as well?
Yes, he is. He's very good on the run as a blocker. But Gronkowski, who probably the best tight end ever, he could block.
Probably the best tight end ever. So you'd say Gronk versus Travis Kelce is going to be the other mano-a-mano match.
Gronk has done a little bit longer than he has, and they're just a little different. I think Travis Kelce is close to being better than Gronk. I mean, they're different. Like, Gronk was never a one-on-one against your corner isolated route guy, right? That's not who he was. He was more of the traditional tight end. But I think that Travis is very close to being better than Gronk. Gronk was probably a better overall player as far as a blocker as a tight end. But the Chiefs don't ask Travis Kelce to block very often anymore. They have other guys to block. He basically is a glorified wide receiver, and it works really well for their offense.
Yeah, he's unbelievable at, when the play breaks down, sliding into open space. And
amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about one of the other headlines that's been floating around over the weekend and got lost in some of the game action, which is Matt Stafford is parting ways with the Lions. That's, I think, their phrasing. So I want to know, odds Matt Stafford ever wins a ring, over under 10% chance?
Under.
Because you don't think he'll end up on a winner?
It's just hard to do. he might, but he just has been kind of beat up lately. I mean, he's got to obviously stay upright and stay healthy. I just would bet against it. It's just really hard to do, man. It's just hard to do.
Does Matt Stafford seem to you like the kind of guy who, if he ended up on a good team, we could see that, oh my God, he was always great. He just never had a great team around him.
Oh yeah. Yes, we could. Yeah, that's a conversation that's probably going to happen.
Okay. So is there any team, I know we'll do this all off season, but is there any team where he makes some sense to you other than just the Niners who we talked about with Aaron Rodgers, where he could steal a ring in the last few years of his career?
In Indy for sure.
Okay. That already looks like a team it's good enough defensively. It has some offensive weapons. Throw him in there, they're certainly a competitor. See, I think you got to be in the NFC, truthfully. That's my fear for any young player.
Yeah, I would stay away from stay away from Mahomes as much as you can.
Yeah, and now the Bills look like, you know, there's the Bills, the Ravens, maybe the Steelers for another year, I doubt it, but there's another couple teams that can just trip you up. You could be a great team, you could be a one seed and get knocked off by a pretty good team. All right, let's talk about another guy who hasn't yet moved. And I know this one, there's a couple threads you want to pull on with this one, but I want to know, Eric Bieniemy wins as the head coach in Houston next year. I'm taking a leap. Over under 8.5.
I would say under, because I don't know if Watson will be there. If Watson's there, I could see an over. Look, we talked about this last week. I don't know why Eric Bieniemy doesn't have a job yet, right? He's interviewed now with, I believe, near 15 teams over the last 3 years. It could be less. I don't think it's any more than that. That's the number I heard. I didn't explore this. Even if it's 10 teams, okay, he's interviewed with them now for 3 years now. So something else is happening here besides what we've talked about, right? Like, I cannot think that the only reason he doesn't have a job is race. It's possible. Like, I don't want to be like completely naive to that possibility. But after interviewing for 15 jobs, I got to think there's a little something more to that, right? Am I off there, Gabe? I don't think I'm off, am I?
No, I think you're perfectly right to ask the question, what else could it be? I think we have to accept that it's part of the equation with some of
it
those
teams. It is part. It has to be part because the numbers bear it out, right? There's no way you can have 70% black players and two coaches that are black. Like, it doesn't make sense, right? There needs to be more. It needs to be there's qualified candidates. Jim Caldwell, Leslie Frazier, Todd Bowles, Byron Leftwich will be whenever. Like, there's plenty of qualified candidates. When you have Joe Schmo getting hired by the Eagles and he didn't even know he was going to be interviewed, he was on vacation. Like, get out of here. So I don't know what it is about Bieniemy, but I will say that the arguments that people make for him on social media are just kind of the wrong arguments to make. Like, there's this, people say, well, he doesn't call plays. That's a disingenuous argument anyways, because we know the coaches get hired without calling plays. So defending that part of it doesn't make sense to me, because that's just someone who's ignorant, right? That's someone who just doesn't know what they're talking about. And saying things that are not true about how the Chiefs operate does not help either, right? So every offense is collaborative, right? So every offense, the OC is not in charge of everything the offense does. He doesn't sit in his office all day and drop all the runs, all the passes, all the third down, all the red zone, there's not enough time in the day to do that. They delegate. The offensive line has the offensive line coach has the run game. The quarterback coach, you have first down passes. The running back coach, you have third down passes. You know, the tight end coach, you have red zone, goal line, whatever else. And now, within that process, yes, Andy Reid, for example, would have a say in kind of whatever part he wants to have a say in. So for example, let's say Eric Bieniemy does the red zone, which is what was tweeted out yesterday. So Eric Bieniemy does the red zone in accordance with Andy Reid. Andy Reid comes over there probably, says, hey man, let's run these plays. You know, AB's like, I like these plays. And then in the meeting rooms, because the coaches don't want to talk for the entire freaking meeting, every single meeting, he has his other guys on the team, wide receiver coach, running back coach, O-line coach, all that stuff, install the part they work on. So Eric Bieniemy might install the red zone. Mike Kafka, their quarterback coach, by install, I mean in front of the team on red zone, simply Thursday or Friday. He'll go up in front of the room and install all the plays. That does not mean that he came up with every single play, just like it doesn't mean Andy Reid installs a part of the offense that he came up with every single play either, right? So it'll be collaborative effort in how the game plan is put together. So again, being a person who calls plays does not really qualify you or disqualify you to be a coach in the NFL. We know that. But let's kind of be honest about what happens in the team meeting room and how the offense is put together. Andy Reid calls the plays, and that's fine. It doesn't, again, he doesn't, he's even said, he goes, it's a collaboration, right? He might radio to EB, hey, Eric, what do you like right here? And Eric might say, hey, coach, I like this play. And it's like, great, call that play. Or he might, hey, offensive line coach, third and one, what run do you want here? And Andy Heck is like, run power. And coach is like, cool, run power. Like, it's a collaborative process. So we're like trying so hard, because I agree, it is very odd he doesn't have a job. So we're trying to find the reasons why he doesn't have a job by throwing out things that just kind of aren't really true. And it's frustrating. I totally get it. Because again, I think Eric should have a job. I think he should be for the Texans. It'd be great if he went to Houston. He would set that program up. They have an adult in the room. Someone who knows how to win and all that. But I don't know why he doesn't have a job, man. I get asked this all the time. I have no idea. If I knew, I would tell everyone.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are other people who have come up with 1,000 excuses, like you said, and so we can read their tweets. From the perspective of a fan who kind of barely knows how any of this works and needed you to explain how install works on a Thursday, let's say, from the perspective of that guy, it seems like him plus Deshaun Watson and a fresh start is material for success very soon. It wasn't all that long ago the Texans looked like a team on the rise. So I like that for him, and I would say over 8.5 wins if that combo was together and happy. But I don't know.
Deshaun just seems totally like he wants to bounce no matter who's the coach.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping he'll bounce to the Jets. Not that he'll be any happier there, but that's another show. All right, let's do a couple silly ones and we'll get out of here. I want to know, chances Julian Edelman packs himself in Gronk's suitcase and hides out in one of either him or Tom Brady's room all week long in Tampa. 99% chance Julian Edelman's down there.
Over. He's 100. He's down there. No one's like, there's no Radio Row this year. There's no like any festivities, I don't think. The Chiefs are flying in Saturday like usual for a regular Sunday game. There's nothing there. But Edelman will be there.
He'll be there. Unson in the background. Yeah, I can't. He must feel really crappy about not being brought over. They have like every kind of player on that team. They've got a Scotty Miller who's a Julian Edelman ripoff. They brought in Antonio Brown who could have been that guy. I mean, it's crazy. He must feel so left out.
He posted a video last night on Instagram of Tom Brady.
The what?
He posted a picture, like a video, congratulating Tom Brady.
Yeah. Oh, huge FOMO for Julian Edelman.
Oh, for sure.
He'll find a way down to Tampa. All right. We heard earlier that Budweiser, oddly enough, would not have ads in the Super Bowl this year. That's, of course, a staple. So thinking of ads and thinking about what I think we're sure to see, I want to know chances of a new Baker Mayfield progressive ad where he's like shoveling out the stadium parking lot because, you know, he lives there and that's his driveway. But he's making fun of himself for losing to the Chiefs. So they like whip this up real quick and push it out there Super Bowl Sunday. What do you think?
It's interesting.
50% chance, over under.
Well, there will be a Baker Mayfield commercial.
Okay.
It's just a matter of how many, of who's in it and what. My wife saw one the other day. Like, is that his wife? I go, probably. I mean,
I think so. Like, I doubt they cast.
I know. I don't think they cast someone else. She was so intrigued. She's like, oh, I'm like, yeah. Do you want to be in a commercial? She's like, no. I'm like, well, okay, cool. I would say over. He'll definitely be in a commercial. I stopped watching the Super Bowl. Like, commercials don't do it for me anymore. I'm too busy, like, during the breaks, like, tweeting
at Aaron Schatz about DVOA when you could be watching hilarious ads.
Yes.
Do you even know who's playing the halftime show? I like that long pause. I could have done this as an over-under. Chances Jeff knows who's playing halftime.
Let me think.
I'll give you a hint. You could not escape the one ad that was constant all weekend on both networks. You couldn't help but notice it featured the halftime performance.
Oh, I'm not watching commercials during the oh, geez. Who is it?
Everyone was singing along. I don't know the name of the song.
No, it's not J-Lo. That was last year.
The Weeknd.
The Weeknd. Okay.
Yeah.
Was that Blinding Lights? That's his jam? Flashing Lights? What's
I don't know. I don't know the name of the song, but it's everyone is... everyone's singing it while he's driving
away. I think it's like Blinding Lights. Okay, not bad. I like The Weeknd. J-Lo and Shakira were good last year in Miami.
I prefer that. I will say this about The Weeknd. I don't think I've told you this. I went to a show in Vegas a few years ago. It was like a iHeartRadio festival with multiple performers. And the headliner was Coldplay, which is why I was there. Coldplay, Pink, Harry Styles, and The Weeknd all performed. I went into this knowing basically nothing about anyone but Coldplay. And I left and I would rank... in order of like how good was it? Weeknd the worst. Coldplay underperformed from my perspective. Harry Styles surprisingly good. Pink unfucking believable.
Wow.
Pink killed, man. See Pink in concert.
I've not been a big concert guy. I've seen Usher at Madison Square Garden. That was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And then last year the Super Bowl, we saw Chainsmokers and Lizzo. And a little bit of Rick Ross, Flo Rida, and then Pitbull was after the Chiefs. That was fun. I remember watching videos. Pitbull for an hour and a half play to the Chiefs Super Bowl party. That was a ton of fun.
Did he just play the same song on loop for an hour and a half?
No, he didn't. It was a lot. Dude, we had a lot of fun with my wife and I. It's the latest I might have ever stayed up. I was up till 4 a.m. Like, and I'm sober. I don't drink. Like 4 a.m. sober, just dancing a Super Bowl away.
Well, fun. I hope you get a chance to do that again this year, Jeff. We'll be talking about the game again next week. You and Matt are going to do some picks this week and next. There's a lot of fun football to talk about. So thanks for getting me smarter on this weekend. We'll look forward more next week.
Yeah, man. I can't believe we finally got here. Super Bowl, it's done. Not done. It's here. And we'll get to it next week. All right, guys. Have a great couple of days. Talk to you then.